from Anshe Spar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Parshat Emor, Disqualified in the Temple. We have in the Parshah something which, for some, could be very disturbing, and that is that it says that if an animal is blemished, we cannot offer it. Okay. Could understand, it says in Malachi, if you're going to bring a sacrifice, you're going to bring the lame animal, the blind animal, bring the best animal you have. Okay, we could accept that. But then it says that Balmum, it cannot be, lo yigash lakriv lechem lokav. He cannot bring the offering. Even if a person is a Kohen, if a Kohen is blemished, he's blind, he's various problems with his feet, his hands, then he is not qualified to bring the bread of God. The question is, why not? After all, a person who's blemished, he's humble of spirit. After all, et dakau shval ruach, you know who God rests with? God rests with the humble of spirit. People have been humbled by their physical impediments, challenges, difficulties. After all, where does Mashiach sit? Says Eliyahu HaNavi, he sits with the lepers. People are blemishes and they have bandages and they're taking them on and putting them off. That's where the Mashiach is. That's where redemption is with those who have humble of spirit. How can we say that those people are not welcome to offer the sacrifices of God? Of course, not everyone can offer the sacrifice, only Kohanim. But those Kohanim, those priests who are blemished, why should they be not able to offer the sacrifices of God? So the Sefer HaChinuch, the book that often gives a reason for every single mitzvah, he says, well, the people's views on a particular aspect of life is based on their eyes, and based on that, they develop a certain attitude towards what's important, what's not important. So, since people are not politically correct, people are not made with politically correct lenses. No. People look at something, they say, oh, that's something that disabled people are doing that. That must be somehow, this is not the most important of works. In other words, although in an ideal world, we would have a Geiger counter for who works in the temple based on purely altruistic values, but we have to recognize there's a real world. And that real world, there are people. People have certain attitudes. And if those attitudes are that somehow someone is of a blemished physical physique, therefore, perhaps that reflects on the nature of the enterprise. Perhaps this is an enterprise which itself is blemished in some way. So somehow he doesn't realize the great significance, the beauty, and the grandeur of the importance of the Beit HaMikdash. One might also suggest that what is the Beit HaMikdash? Beit HaMikdash reflects one particular idea. There are many ideas. There are many angles of every question. One idea is that God dwells with the lowly. God dwells with those who are suffering. God dwells with those who are meek of spirit. And very often, a physical blemish can be very humbling for a person. That's a true point. There's another point. God is a God of grandeur and splendor. God both has grandeur, God is also very humble. There are two different aspects. The Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple in Jerusalem, or the Mishkan, the Tabernacle, reflects one particular idea, L'chavod ul'tifaret. As we read in Parshat Tetzaveh, it reflects the grandeur and the magnificence of God. When you walk into the Beit HaMikdash, Hod v'ajal l'fanav, you should see splendor and beauty in the Beit HaMikdash. That's what the Beit HaMikdash is, for a person to come and see. Wow, nivhalu nichbazu. People are just amazed, they're awed, they're awestruck, they're wowed by the grandeur, the magnificence of everything they see in the Beit HaMikdash. Herod was a weird guy, but he built a beautiful Beit HaMikdash. People had never seen anything like it. If you didn't see that temple, you'd never seen beauty in your life. That's the Beit HaMikdash. Beit HaMikdash is a place where we reflect the glory of God. And therefore, while the meek are those that God dwells with, while God loves those who are ohev ger, God loves the stranger, the orphan, the widow, these are the people we have to take most care of. And certainly those who are or blemish. We appreciate the difficulty of being blind, of having these disabilities, these challenges. But when in the Beit HaMikdash, we're trying to reflect something else. It's not a place for that. The Beit HaMikdash reflects a particular idea. And the idea is the chavod ultifar, it's for the honor and glory of God. And therefore, when you walk in, you should be wowed by the magnificence of the Kohanim. They're part of the furniture. They wear certain garments. Those garments atone. They are part of the furniture. The menorah has to be beautiful. The Kohen, some way, has to be beautiful as well. That's my particular theory. Take it or leave it. The Barbara Brunel, and I heard this also from Rabbi Mark Penner, who is the dean of the REITS, the Rabbi Isaac Elchanan Theological Seminary, Yeshiva University, says that the Beit HaMikdash is a symbol of perfection. Beit HaMikdash is some place where everything's just the way it's supposed to be. I would add to that, that the Beit HaMikdash in many ways is like Gan Eden. What is Gan Eden? Gan Eden was before the sin. What would happen before the sin? People live forever. And therefore, in the Beit HaMikdash, as Rabbi Yitz Greenberg once pointed out in an interesting lecture, the Beit HaMikdash, there's no connection with death. That's why the Parsha says in Parsha Nemor, L'nefesh lo yitama v'ama. When it comes to Kohen, he cannot defile himself for any funeral, only for certain relatives. And for the high priest, no contact with the dead at all, even for his close relatives, unless meis mitzvah, unless there's someone has no one else to tend to. But in general, he cannot have any contact with the dead. In other words, you walk into that Beit HaMikdash, no one there has had any contact with the dead for 7 days. Because they can't walk into the Beit HaMikdash unless you had the purification ceremony on the third and seventh day with the red heifer ashes. 7 days. The Kohanim who are serving there, they have not had any contact with the dead unless they lost a close personal relative. The Kohen Gadol, since he's been Kohen Gadol, it could be 10, it could be 20, it could be 50 years, he has not had any contact in all these years with the dead. A sanctuary could become the place where, oh, Kohen, could you come to my funeral? Kohen, could you come to my funeral? Very often, that's what in shuls, rabbis are very much functionaries of funerals, eulogies, but not the Beit HaMikdash. In the Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple in Jerusalem, there's no connection to death, because the Beit HaMikdash is a place where you experience the ultimate perfection of God. You experience the world the way it should be, not the way it is, the way it should be. You walk in, there's no death. You walk in, the rabbis say there were all kinds of things. There was like a golden tree that had golden fruits, and they used to give the Kohanim money from those fruits. It's a place of magnificence, a place where nobody miscarries. Nobody faints from the smell of the blood and the flies, and there's no flies there at all. It's a place of great perfection. It's a place where we mimic the Gan Eden itself, the Garden of Eden, and therefore, when you walk in, shouldn't see blemished people. So Rabbi Penner asked, he said, well, but still, I mean, there are blemished people in the world, and we need to respect them, and we need to have love and care for them. And I should point out that I worked for several years in the Camp Hask, work with disabled people. It's incredible to have a child, a Down syndrome, a different mental challenges. You can still have tremendous joy, tremendous love for them. They can bring tremendous happiness in your life. A person could be blind. I had a friend, Rabbi Winefsky, Avishalom. He was a blind rabbi. Unbelievable. We had so much fun together learning and discussing and talking. There's no end to what a person can do despite various disabilities. There's no question. But Rabbi Penner asked the following question. He says, yes, we can be so loving and so caring and so appreciative of what a human life is, whether it's Down syndrome, whether it has the autism, whether they have any kind of blemish, any kind of physical challenges or mental challenges that a person may have. We can learn to appreciate it and love it. He says, don't go too far. Don't say, well, you know what? If I had to choose again, I would want it exactly this way. No, says Rabbi Penner, who has a disabled child. He says, ideally, we'd like all of our children to be fully capable, fully unblemished, in the picture of perfection. That's how we would like the world to be. Although we accept every child as they are, every person as they are, every human being as they are, We realize that Tzelem Elokim, the image of God, rests in every single person, as disabled as they may be. But we recognize that that's not the ideal world. We can hope for a world in which there are no blemishes. In fact, we're getting ready for Shavuos. In Shavuos, we stood at Mount Sinai. They say at Mount Sinai there were no blemishes, because Mount Sinai there was a picture of perfection. And what is the Beit HaMikdash, says the Ramban? It's a continuation of Mount Sinai. So when you get to that place, which represents Mount Sinai, represents Gan Eden, represents the ideal world, we say, God, in that ideal world, don't give us any people who are blemished. Don't give us any people who are blind. It's a challenge to be blind. It's difficult to be blind. It's unbelievable challenge. It's an unbelievable challenge to walk, a person can't walk properly. It's an unbelievable challenge when a person can't speak properly. It's an unbelievable challenge when someone has a physical defect that everyone looks at and you have to overcome it. Give us a world of perfection. You walk into that Beit HaMikdash, you can hope of that. You can dream of that. You can think about that. You can see it, experience it, and live it, because you are standing at Mount Sinai again. And at Mount Sinai, we were all the picture of perfection, because there we dreamt of the ultimate dream. That's our prayer, that's our hope, that's our dream. Every child will be beautiful, every child will have no perfection, every child will have every opportunity that you and I and every other person has on the face of the earth. That's the dream. It's a place not of reality. Reality has disabled people. In reality, we have to help the ger, yatom, and almana. We have to help the widow and the orphan and the poor. In reality, we have to appreciate the Tzelem Elokim, the image of God that rests in every single individual, no matter how blemished. But that's not our prayer and our hope. The Beit HaMikdash represents our prayer and our hope. Our prayer and our hope that one day we'll live in a world in which God will take, God will take off the tears off of every face. No more challenges, no more things to overcome, no more personal and physical and mental challenges. We will be like at Mount Sinai, like in Gan Eden. There will be one day a perfect world. Thank you for joining us here at the Anshei Sefar Beth Lamed congregation, here for our discussion of the disabled, the Parshat, and more. Join us each week for a discussion of the Parsha and the various holidays. And thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.